So we said this already, and now we're moving into section A, section B. In these three virgins, you have the three mothers of the Christ. You have the history of the formation and the function of the three aspects of the personality through which the Christ must find expression. So in a way, Eve is the mind that is in Christ. Isis, the heart or emotion, which is in Christ, and Mary is Christ through the physical plane. We can certainly have the mind that reveals the value of the Christ principle, but it doesn't mean that it's manifested tangibly and practically. We can have the Christ feeling and be filled with Christ emotion and love, but is it worked out on the physical plane? That's the question. Probably in Atlantean days there was a lot of this, but was it really worked out on the physical plane? Finally, in Arian times, and especially in our times, the times in which we live, this Christ principle must really manifest through the ethers and through the densest form of matter, and that is what we are bringing about at this time. A unique time because of the power of the seventh ray once again corresponding to the presence of an Aquarian precessional age, and even a large precessional age of Aquarius, 25,000 years or more in duration. We do know that there is always a ray which is going to be manifesting along with a shorter precessional age, like in the shorter precessional age of Pisces, the sixth ray manifested alongside the Pisces manifestation. In the shorter precessional age of Aquarius, which is now occurring, the seventh ray is manifesting, and it won't always be a sequential order from six to seven. It is now. But is there also a longer manifestation of a ray throughout a 25,000-year plus duration of a great Platonic year, which is ruled by a particular sign? This great Platonic year that we're coming into, and DK says that our particular astrological signs cannot tell us exactly when, but we're coming into it, and it's a 25,000-year period plus. Will a ray accompany this? The amount of years, 2,500 or even more precisely 2160, long enough to see the Christ manifesting through matter, or will we require the entire 25,000 years for this to occur? DK is talking mostly in terms of the shorter precessional age and that which will happen under the three decanates, with the Christ abiding with us for 5,000 years, 2,500 of which have already passed. So his bodhisattvic reign will not extend into the longer Platonic year, age of Aquarius. It will be over during this shorter precessional age. We will have, probably though, the onset of the major Aquarian age during the time of the smaller precessional age. So we'll have a major Aquarius, sub-Aquarius, with the Christ present and the Buddha assisting. I suppose a unique opportunity to bring the second aspect of divinity into expression. The sign Virgo itself stands for a synthesis of these three feminine aspects, Eve, Isis, and Mary. Now, in another sense, we should remember at this point that the sign Virgo stands for the synthesis of the three divine aspects as usually considered. I am the mother and the child. I, God, I, matter, am. All three aspects of divinity, Father, Son, as well as the predictable mother aspect. But here he's looking at another type of synthesis, with the Virgo standing for the three feminine aspects, Eve, Isis, and Mary. And I suppose there are types of relationship that one can have with one's own soul, which are Eve relationships, Isis relationships, Mary relationships, and even perhaps this extends into the world of human relationships. Virgo, she is the Virgin Mother, providing that which is needed for the mental, emotional, and physical expression of the hidden but ever-present divinity, meaning the Christ in this case. She provides that which is needed for Christ expressing mentally, Christ expressing emotionally, Christ expressing through the vital and physical bodies. She provides the milieu through which Christ can express on three levels. So Virgo is making it possible. The purificatory processes of Virgo. Virgo makes it possible for the ordinary expression of these three vehicles to change, and for the Christ to express through all three. The mind that is in Christ, Christ through the mental nature, the thinking of benevolent, inclusive thoughts, Christ through the, that's the mental nature I meant, I hope I said that, then the through the emotional nature, the experience of loving feeling and inclusive feeling and emotion, and Christ in action, the Mary aspect, the goodwill aspect, love in action, tangibly on the dense physical plane of the solar system. These three expressions are brought to the needed perfection in Leo. That's interesting. A perfecting process there, too. Normally, you think of Virgo as the perfecter. But these three expressions are brought to the needed perfection in Leo, the sign of the individual, developed self-consciousness and personality unfoldment. And Leo is an expressive sign, is it not? So Leo rules expression. The sun is made to shine through every vehicle. Every vehicle. The sun is the Christ nature. So the Christ is empowered to express through each vehicle. And this succeeds as the Virgoan purificatory processes progress. These two signs are very much together in the expression of the Christ. They represent what man is, what man can be. We just see, you know, in the early days, we see the newly formed self-consciousness expressing through the density of matter. Let matter reign, the density of physical matter, and, of course, emotional matter, not yet very refined, mental matter very inchoate. But later, we see the glory of the sun, S-U-N, S-O-N, expressing through purified and developed matter, because the Virgo process has been at work through Vulcan on the physical plane, through Neptune on the emotional plane, perhaps we can say through Uranus on the mental plane. Uranus, in a way, has more to do with Leo being the veiled hierarchical ruler than it does with Virgo. But we need to bring the mind to a point of unselfishness where it can truly express the Christ principle. Sometimes people work a little backwards, you know. They start out trying to do the right thing. They may not know why they are doing it or why it's the right thing, but they go through the right actions, and this triggers the feeling, the Christ feeling that comes from serving. And the right action and the Christ feeling lead us then to an assessment, a mental assessment, of what the Christ principle really is, so we can move as well from Mary through Isis through Eve, or from the outer action to the feeling which can be associated with it, to a much larger knowledge of what we've really been doing all along and a deeper understanding, moving in both directions. So as our personality continues to develop under Leo and its expressive powers under Leo, we are learning to express the Son through all three vehicles and the Son. So let's put that down. Expressing the Son and the Son through all three vehicles. And eventually, in the second phase of Leo, I am that. We are, our consciousness is deeply immersed in the Christ principle, and the power of that immersion makes it the expression through each of the lower three vehicles more successful. Okay. Virgo is therefore the opposite pole of spirit. Then is Pisces the pole of spirit? Okay. Virgo is the opposite pole of spirit and stands for the relation of these two, spirit and matter, I suppose. After they have been brought together originally in Aries and produced a recognized duality in Gemini. But, of course, of Virgo we say it's matter, it's Mula Prakriti. See, of Virgo, oops, Gemini, we come down here. Of Virgo, we say, let matter reign. But interestingly enough, Virgo also rules the monadic plane and is intimately related to the Kriya Shakti power of the monad. So in one sense, yes, Virgo is the virgin matter, but in another sense, it represents the spirit aspect of the human being. Because it is, after all, personality, soul, and spirit, microcosmically considered. But it stands for the relation of the two, which is a more fused and blended relationship. Relationship of the two, spirit and matter, a more fused and blended relationship after they have been brought together originally in Aries. That's the first introduction, and the seventh ray of Aries helps with that process. In a way, Aries has a first ray and seventh ray representing the extremes of spirit and matter. So they confront each other in that sign. They produce the recognized duality of soul and personality in Gemini, and they are fused and blended in Virgo, as we have been told. Intimately fused and blended. The blending, fusing and blending power of Virgo must be remembered. I would here remind you of something which may at first serve to add to the possible confusion already existing in your minds. Well, it's 80 years later, or 75 years later after this book has been written. Are we still confused? I would say, yes, in many respects. But gradually fathoming what he's intending to say. I would here remind you of something which may at first serve to add to the possible confusion already existing in your minds, but which lies behind all I've given you. We have talked of the two ways of proceeding around the zodiac, which have to do with, really, direction of energy currents within the energy system of the human being. Just recently we extracted that particular reference. I can't remember where it was, but it's quite definite in saying that the two ways of proceeding around the zodiac have to do with the movement of energy currents microcosmically within the human being. The ordinary way from Aries to Taurus via Pisces, probably which had not been brought to the attention of human beings who are not initiate before the Tibetan wrote about this, and the esoteric way from Aries to Pisces via Taurus, which was the conventional way of considering astrology, but which no one thought of as being particularly esoteric. So these refer to human evolution, which is only the only one which we are considering in this treatise. Obviously, astrology of this kind could be applied to other forms of evolution, but the universe is so vast and the many forms, evolving forms, so many, that we have to be wise in simply sticking with that which we can fathom, lest we become overwhelmed and reduced to a state of uselessness. Okay, so these we're keeping the microcosmic perspective at the moment, and considering the two ways of progressing. And basically, they have to do with the idea of whether descending energies will be used by the lower centers, even though they have to pass through the higher centers, or whether the higher centers will be primarily activated and draw up the energy of the lower centers into their own field or orbit, therefore being the primary organs, etheric organs of distribution. But in the major involutionary cycle, which concerns the mass movement of spirit-matter, the mass movement of spirit-matter, and not the individualized progress of man, the movement is from Aries to Pisces via Taurus. So this is very interesting. What it tells us is the energy movement of the developed man is the same as the energy movement or mass movement of spirit matter on a larger, on a much larger scale. So spirit matter is moving in the counterclockwise direction, and the developed man has accorded his movement with this larger movement, but the undeveloped man is going against this larger stream. So the secret of original sin, the original sin of man, is hidden in this truth. For a wrong orientation took place at one stage of human history. And you kind of wonder, you know, was this in the very beginning? Was this at the time of individualization or later? Was the sin of the mindless involved here? Was the sex impulse and its abuse involved here? Were the early human beings more cooperative with the proper direction accorded to them, offered to them by the God kings? And did this wrong orientation begin later when the Black Lodge took an interest in humanity and seek to become obstructive, to retard human progress? He does say at one stage. He's not elaborating upon that point. So the secret of original sin is hidden in this truth. It has to do with direction of the energy currents, I suppose, from above to below and expressed below, without the possibility of being lifted. But I suppose in a way, these energies, the lower chakras, do have to be developed. So is there anything inherently sinful in this? Well, obviously we were somehow going against the stream, going against the intended order of progression when we began to move backwards. How this happened, perhaps he'll tell us, perhaps not. A wrong orientation took place at one stage in human history, and the human family went as a whole against the normal zodiacal current. Were they moving backwards? Was there an attempt to move backwards into matter and to ignore the development of consciousness? And did this occur under the stimulation of the Black Lodge? These are questions. And the human family went as a whole against the normal zodiacal current, so to speak, and it is only, I suppose, you know, individualism is that. One is essentially a group being, but as a newly individualized man in Leo, one is overcome by a sense of separateness from all things and does not consider oneself to be moving with the flow of nature. One is emphasizing one's own individualism, one's own separateness. This, I think, is a going against the normal zodiacal current. So it is only upon the path of discipleship that right orientation is achieved and humanity swings on into the correct rhythm of progress. So it's as if this backward movement, this reversal of energy currents within the human energy system was maybe not intended. It seems that free choice is involved here. Is free choice here involved? Is this the danger of individualization and the free will which it confers? So the human family went as a whole against the normal zodiacal current, and it is only upon the path of discipleship or probationary discipleship that right orientation is achieved and humanity swings into the correct rhythm of progress. So is this what we call then the successful reversal of the wheel? Is this occurring incipiently in fifth petal processes as a person becomes an aspirant and moves on to take the first initiation? Or is this successful reversal of the currents only occurring at a later stage, somewhere between the second and third initiations? Okay, those are questions which have to be answered. I would ask you, therefore, to differentiate between the involutionary process which affects the great creative hierarchies and the evolutionary processes which affect the fourth creative hierarchy, the human. So we have a dual way to tread. Man finds in his progress the necessity of repenting, which means to turn about and go the other way. I guess we were off on the wrong foot, off in the wrong direction. Maybe all of this coming from the influence of the disaster on the moon chain and some kind of rebellion in the first solar system, which DK hints at, this being transferred into our fourth chain. and affecting the way man as a whole would go. So the normal progress of the great creative hierarchies, it appears, proceed in a according to the normal zodiacal current, and man's evolution according to a twofold current, one of which is sinful, so to speak, original sin. One current affecting man is sinful and wrongly oriented. If there's an attempt somehow to go into matter, deeper and deeper into matter, as was the case on the moon chain of the earlier solar system, it is sinful, and it's somehow going back to mother matter. It's somehow not developing the Christ germ, which is meant to become the full expressive love, wisdom, consciousness, expressing its independence of and its eventual domination of matter. It's a retrogressive, reactionary flight back to a former time. This is sin. It's refusing to correct, in second solar system terms, the tendencies of earlier solar system matter that is found as the foundation of our solar system. We're not only letting it go its own way, we are following that way. That is a mistake. We have to live according to second solar system principles, which we are perhaps not intelligent to do at first, especially if we are weaned away from the proper path by the deliberate obstructive intentions of those who willfully follow first solar system methods, i.e., the members of the left-hand path and the masters of that path, the members of the Black Lodge. So this, however, we are not really in a position to study, because when the evolutionary cycle is upon us, we find ourselves too closely identified with the process to be able to distinguish between the cosmic self and not self. We're still very individual, and we have not achieved our cosmic identification. We have not yet achieved our cosmic identification. We don't think of ourselves customarily as the planetary logos, as the solar logos, as some cosmic logos. We still confine our identity to a quite narrow sphere. We are only as yet beginning to distinguish between the self and the not-self. It's so easy to look at the vehicles and say, this is myself. And this is a fundamental discrimination which so many of us have not made. We are only yet, as yet, learning to distinguish the self and the not-self on a tiny scale in connection with our own unfoldment. I suppose every day it is important to make this discrimination, establishing the reality of the spiritual self and its distinction from all that is perceived in the lower worlds. It is only when we are identified with the hierarchy of our planet and with that center of spiritual force, which it is the immediate objective of those upon the path of discipleship to contact, that it becomes possible for us to grasp on the evolutionary arc those broad outlines and those major sweeps of divine energy which are present upon the involutionary arc. We're not really understanding involution and the movement of spirit matter. We're not understanding the broad sweep because we've been so wrapped up in our own individual process, but our picture gets bigger and bigger all the time. Sagittarius conveys on the path of discipleship an ever larger picture. We come under Jupiter. It gives us a more encompassing vision. And we can begin to understand how the anima mundi itself, the soul of the world, is moving. How did he put it up here? Let's see if we can find that. But in the major involutionary cycle, which concerns the mass movement of spirit matter, and not the individualized progress of man, the movement is from Aries to Pisces. So there is a sense in which we can be part of the greater involution evolution, part of the great sweep of things, and not move at our relatively advanced state against that. We're really examples of almost deliberate separativeness. This is the original sin. It's always a danger when you give consciousness and free will, relatively free will, to a unit of life. How will it be used? How did this happen? I've offered some speculations as to how it might have happened. But maybe it's simply the result of ignorance. For when one thinks oneself as individual, separate, unique, one emphasizes that which one perceives, one's own tininess, separation, uniqueness, and tends to emphasize that rather than the more authentic group movement, soul movement, which underlies it. I suppose the anima mundi is operating involutionarily in a counterclockwise direction, and the various unfoldments of the world soul, which can be far greater than the unfoldments of the human soul, are operating in the counterclockwise direction, the natural order of the signs. But when we awaken to our own self-consciousness, we don't know that. We don't know what this great cosmic sweep is doing, the direction it is tending. We just awaken to our expulsion from the Garden of Eden. And we are in then survival mode, and it is far from us to think about the welfare of the group, far indeed. But as we wake up on the path of discipleship after millions of years of all kinds of painful process, we begin to understand that what we are is larger than what we thought we were, and we're not separate at all. And when the sense of separateness leaves us, we find ourselves actually moving with a zodiacal current of life which has been moving all along and which we have failed to perceive. And then we want to move with the great process, which is fulfilling the divine plan and the divine purpose, and which could not do so if it moved clockwise against the stream. You know, this business of the salmon swimming against the stream, I think what's interesting is the prodigal son, you know, the salmon and the prodigal son in a way is very similar. He's gone through a clockwise process and buried himself deeply in matter. It's almost like the left-handed swastika. When he awakens, he is swimming against the negative stream. He's swimming against a almost unnecessarily involutionary stream which he himself has generated. He's going now counterclockwise, which is he's attempting to move in the proper zodiacal order, and he's swimming against the lower swastika, the left-hand swastika, the involutionary stream which he himself has generated. He wanted to get back into matter somehow, and preserving his individual status brought him there. And now all the powers with which he emphasized his own separateness and his own lower ego stand against him as he begins to swim or move in the counterclockwise way. He's buffeted by all he has generated until he at last succeeds, and having freed himself from lower ego at the second initiation, knocking out the first form of selfishness, he actually enters the stream. He's been trying to reach that stream, and now the stream is flowing from the second initiation on towards the higher initiations, and he has far fewer obstacles within his own nature now that he has entered the stream. So swimming against the current is, in a way, swimming against a current, an involutionary reseeking of matter that we ourselves have generated, a going backwards into an older theme of the moon chain in the previous solar system where group consciousness was not generated, not group consciousness, but instead individual consciousness was accentuated. And he is much bruised in the action, but at last can flow with the real current, and the current bears him along. So great strength is developed by going against one's own involutionary tendencies, one's personal microcosmic, follow one's elementals, involutionary tendencies. One becomes strong. Obstacles are possibilities. When we assert ourselves against a counter movement, we develop strength. And spiritual strength is here developed. Anyway, we reach a point when the broad outlines and those major sweeps of divine energy, which are present on the involutionary arc, can be understood by us, not our own sort of unnecessary, selfish, individual involutionary arc. It's almost like an unnecessary involution, almost like a willful involution. The Black Lodge members have carried that willful involution to a point where far beyond what humanity knows about at all. But under early Leo, a materialistic sign in a way, a sign of Ahamkara, which is fundamentally illusory, or casts a spell upon the consciousness of man, we follow this microcosmic involutionary arc. We follow the direction of our own elementals. We give assent to them. We say, yes, this is what I desire. We are desiring a movement which is very old and which does not lead to progress in a second solar system sense. So it is for this reason that a study of the zodiac in connection with the subhuman kingdoms is not yet possible. You know, what's interesting, it seems as if the subhuman kingdoms, this is interesting if true, subhuman kingdoms are moving counterclockwise. But the lunar aspects of our nature from the moon chain and transported or imported, ported into this chain are moving perhaps clockwise. And we, in our ignorance, give assent, power and desire to this movement. We identify, identify with it. We identify with it. And therefore move against our inherent possibilities. Well, anyway, those were the old days. Few are the people who are willingly following the left-hand swastika, trying to move deeper and deeper into matter for a certain type of individualistic power that it confers. Few are they, and we don't want to be among them. We want to wake up to the larger movement. Somewhere DK said, you know, the power of the Asana Center in correspondence with the sacral center, and I suppose in general the energies below the diaphragm, are bringing the man onto the left-hand path. And I think he was either using or hinting at Hitler as an example. We've seen what that can look like in the whole drama of the attack of the Black Lodge in the Second World War especially. So Virgo is therefore the cosmic mother, because whenever we consider what is going on within the one about whom not may be said, within which these zodiacal constellations are high head chakras, we are considering something cosmic in scope. Virgo, therefore, is the cosmic mother because she represents cosmically the negative pole to positive spirit. Now, I wonder, you know, if, in a way, Pisces is also a very material sign, and the waters of space are matter. Pisces could also be conceived of in terms of the negative pole. But in the sign Pisces, or in relation to Pisces, there is a king, Cepheus, I guess. Is that it, Cepheus? Who represents one of the decanates of Pisces, and also can be associated with kingship along many lines, including that of Sanat Kumara. She, Virgo, is the receptive agent where the father aspect is concerned. In a previous solar system, this matter aspect was the supreme controlling power. Now, he doesn't say in the immediate preceding system, although one suspects it may be, because in the previous solar system, Virgo is said to have ruled the second half of that solar system and Cancer the first, and both of them have a strong connection with the mother aspect. Excuse me, but our solar logos has gone through not just one solar system, but one major solar system, and I suspect three lesser previous solar systems in which the dense physical, the emotional, and the concrete mental were developed. And sort of in the previous solar system, I suspect it was the personal, the mental personal aspect, which was developed at least in terms of man. So in a previous solar system, the matter aspect was the supreme controlling factor. And what a vast period of time it must have covered. We're told that each solar system is an occult century. Somewhere it tells us that these centuries are equivalent, but in other ways we learn that as we rise from the third to the second to the first aspect, shorter and shorter periods are required. So one wonders about the duration of the previous solar system. One might think it's much longer. The matter aspect was the supreme controlling factor, just as in this solar system it is the soul or the Christ principle, which is of paramount importance. The problem is on our Earth we haven't quite made the pivot, the swing. On Earth we have not yet acquiesced to the program of the second solar system. Second solar system. I look for the little code words. I know I probably spend more time doing that than I should, but I hope to have them so firmly in my mind that I can save time with these longer phrases. So it's a second-ray solar system, and we're very much still on a third-ray planet, still much affected by our third-ray personality, which is resonant to the moon chain in the previous solar system. In a way, the previous solar system should be resonant to the number 4 as well as the number 3. It's still within the third aspect of divinity, but the personality is the number 4 in a sense. And it's a 4 within the 3. So this has to be determined because we're now in the fifth solar system, which makes the previous solar system the four, or the personal. There's a way in which we can look at the four as the four square, having to do with the lower elemental nature, and another way that we can look at four as buddhi and still higher than five. But we're in the fifth solar system, developing the number two, the Christ principle. So, cosmically at least, Virgo represents the negative pole to positive spirit. And I suppose we have to look to the fire signs as the positive aspect. That's one way of doing it. Looking to the fire signs as the representatives of the positive spirit. Okay. Virgo is, from certain angles, quite the oldest of all the signs, although he's being a little careful there. He says quite the oldest. He does tell us at one point that Cancer is even older with respect to the previous solar system, ruling the first part of it. It's quite the oldest of all the signs, which is a statement I am quite unable to prove to you. Maybe to some you could prove it. In that first system, first major system, the faint symptoms, if I may use such a word, of the duality, which is a proven fact in this system, i.e. between the consciousness aspect and the activity aspect, the duality, faint symptoms of the duality, which is a proved fact in this system, are to be found. And this truth is preserved for us in the words, the Holy Spirit overshadowed the Virgin Mary. There's a kind of duality here. One wonders about ether in relation to matter. The Virgin Mary is the dense physical nature here. The Holy Spirit has to do with the etheric nature. So it's, in a way, a lower correspondence, ether representing the soul and the Virgin Mary representing personality. The relationship between ether and dense physical is a lower correspondence to the relation between soul and personality, or soul and matter taken as a whole. The life of the third divine aspect played then, the Holy Spirit aspect, the Brahma aspect, the life of the third divine aspect played then upon the ocean of quiescent matter and prepared that substance over untold eons for its work in this solar system. And there's still much to repattern in that matter, even though the substance has been worked upon by what? Fohat, Brahma, Holy Spirit. Yes. The life of the third divine aspect played then upon the ocean of quiescent matter. It kind of reminds one of Mula Prakriti, but I don't think that it is. Mula Prakriti is so cosmically fundamental. I wonder where it can be found now, if anywhere. The life of the third divine aspect played then upon the ocean of quiescent matter and prepared that substance over untold eons, whatever an eon may be, for its work in this solar system. It is in this system that the Christ child, the expression of the divine consciousness, and the result of the relationship of Father, Spirit, and Mother Matter must be brought to the birth. And the fact that Virgo is expressing the second and sixth ray in this world period facilitates this bringing to birth of the divine consciousness. Okay. 1 minute. Okay, so we're trying to bring to birth something quite different. Now, I suppose in one form or another, many of us have experienced the first previous solar system. It's impossible that what we are should ever have been out of existence. But some of us have been in human form in that solar system, a small remnant of failures of that system, as it is called, and some have been probably in other forms, in other places. Some have experienced what it is, but it's quite unimaginable to us, I think, a system in which material processes are the main focus and the development of consciousness is not, although we have a little bit of a taste of it on our particular planet, which is very material in its expression, or has been, and is now being moved in the direction of consciousness. It's a very hard labor. The Christ is coming to birth on our consciousness, and the return of our microcosmic Christ is a symbol of that. The soul of our planetary scheme, which is the second ray soul, is coming to birth within the substance of our Earth, which is symbolized in a way by Virgo. And the birth pains are very great. The struggles are immense. The conflict even now between outgoing Piscean and incoming Aquarian energies is part of this birth process. So we're in a great struggle here to enter into a way of life upon Earth which is much more in accordance with the theme of our second major solar system. And the struggles, even between the outgoing 25,000-year age of Pisces and the 25,000 incoming age of Aquarius, make this even more intense. I suspect that by the time the smaller age of Aquarius ruled 2,160 years or 2,500 years, depending on how you look at it, by the time that has elapsed, humanity will be fundamentally reoriented. Though the final battle, which will lead to the last judgment, will not have been accomplished until Judgment Day, which is millions of years ahead. And in another round, either a chain round or a scheme round, and it's really only then that we can say that the Christ aspect will prevail within our planetary scheme, and especially upon our globe and within our chain. Then the three-fifths of present human beings who can support the presence of the Christ aspect in their nature in some degree of expression will remain with the planet, and those who cannot support it, either through lack of development or overdevelopment of the concrete mind, will be transported elsewhere for further education. Then indeed, it will be possible for the second divine aspect to emerge. Now, when this will happen in the solar system as a whole is another matter, but I have a very strong sense that the success of what we do on Earth, which is the major repository of those earlier third aspect energies, will have a lot to do with the success of the expression of the second aspect in our solar system as a whole, compared with the third aspect, the primordial ray, which is still quite powerfully in expression. When our solar logos takes his third initiation, cosmic initiation, which is not yet the case, he's taken the second, then he will be more sacred, as Sirius is now, and the Christ principle will be predominating within the solar system over the principle which is temporarily ruled by Virgo, the personal material principle. Okay, so we're at the end now, roughly, of Esoteric Astrology 84, and EAA 84, Section B, page 256. And we'll begin here, EAA 84, Section C, page 256, in just a little while. Meanwhile, what I'd like us to do is to say the great invocation together. I try to bring that in at the end of some of the programs. Okay. Haste makes waste. And here we are. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Okay, friends, we will continue with Virgo. It's a long chapter. We'll do our best. See you shortly.